Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Gonna have to score some points tonight. Daniels lets it go for the first down and plenty more. McCaffrey is short of the touchdown, but the rookie got 30 yards on fourth and two.
How about that play, fourth and two? We talked last week that McCaffrey was getting open, that he was getting separation, and Jaden just couldn't find him. But on that first drive, on the first big decision, fourth and two, down 7-0, needing really to answer. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that any play in this game was crucial, because bottom line was they really weren't going to be stopped offensively, even if they got stopped on that play, or even if they chose to kick a field goal on that play. But Luke McCaffrey nearly scored. What a good job after the catch. Was a little bit strange on that play in that there were like two receivers in the same general area. That is a true tiny nit to pick. All right, let's get to the game take. What I liked, what I did not like, and a few other observations. And then we'll get some of Denton's thoughts on top of what I'm going to mention. And then we'll give you guys a chance to weigh in as well. If you are just waking up and walking out of a tunnel, or a cave, Washington beat Cincinnati last night 38-33 in a game in which they did not punt, they did not turn the ball over, and they just scored every time they had it. They are 2-1, and they are currently atop the NFC East. What I liked, well, it would be easy to just start with Jaden Daniels, but I'm going to just start with the offense overall. As mentioned, six opportunities. Like last week, they only had seven drives. This week, they only had six drives. Like, that's so hard in an NFL game to have that number of opportunities. I mean, the Bengals didn't punt either. It was the first game since 1940 in the NFL. All right, I can do that math. That's 84 years of playing football. It was the first game with no punts and no turnovers. Amazing. There were 52 first downs combined in the game. But think about that. Seven possessions last week, six this week. They haven't punted. They haven't turned the ball over. They've scored on every drive. Obviously, this week, five touchdowns and a field goal versus last week, seven field goals. How about 5 of 9 on third down, 3 of 3 on fourth down? As I mentioned in the opening segment, just, I don't know if you're going to hear this anywhere else, and I don't know if I've ever seen it sort of presented like this. I just started thinking when I saw the total yardage, 356 yards is just okay, but wait a minute, they didn't punt. They didn't go backwards. And when you're looking at a game like last night, you look at, well, what's the most amount of yards they could have gained? Well, you go to the starting field position for those six drives. You add out, you add up how many yards it took from that starting field position spot to the end zone. They started at their own 30. They started at their own 38. They started at their own 25. Then they started at the plus 33, Cincinnati's 33, in the third quarter after the Austin Eckler 62-yard kickoff return. And then their last two drives, they started at the 30 and they started at the 30. So that's 380 yards possible. Now, penalties actually back it up. And then, you know, that's penalty yardage, and you can now gain a little bit more. So they had 10 yards total in offensive penalties. So that's 390 total yards that were out there possible for them. They got 356 of the 390 that were possible. That's 91.2% of the yards out there they got. I think that's good. Really good. Cliff Kingsbury deserves a ton of credit for what he's leveraging in his quarterback's ability to threaten a defense. There is tempo. There is no huddle. There is quasi-huddle. There are multiple formations. There are under-center plays, pistol plays, shotgun plays. There's definitely an ability, and this is one of the things that everybody that followed Cliff Kingsbury, whether it was in college or in the NFL, there's definitely an ability to understand defenses and to scheme people open. And that has happened in really the first 3 weeks of the season. There's not a pass-happy element to him. He is using his quarterback as a run threat, and they are running the you-know-what out of the football here to start the season. Last night wasn't what last week was necessarily, but still they averaged with their running backs and quarterbacks close to 4.5 yards per carry. Cincinnati really was hell-bent last night on not giving up 200-plus yards on the ground, and they got shredded in other ways. But offensively, they are rolling here over the last 2 weeks. And let me just say two things. One, the Giant defense has talent and is schemed up pretty well. Cincinnati's defense was banged up and vulnerable last night, but they are schemed up pretty well. So it's not Baltimore or Cleveland, and they're going to see those two teams coming up here in a few weeks. And there are other excellent defenses on their schedule, including Pittsburgh, including New Orleans down the road. The Eagles certainly played some good defense on Sunday, even though they really didn't play great defense Monday night. I don't know what their defense is going to be like, but there will be other challenges. But so far, so good here through three games with the new offensive coordinator. The offense, unstoppable now for two straight games. And last night, by the way, how about a little bit of a golf clap for red zone efficiency? Last week, 0 for 6, not good. This week, 3 for 3. Next up on the list of things that I liked, certainly the quarterback. So let's start with the numbers. 21 of 23 for 254 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He has yet to throw an interception this year. He rushed for another 39 yards and a touchdown. He accounted for 3 total touchdowns and 293 total yards. 293 he accounted for of, as I mentioned, the 390 that were possible. Always keep that in mind. You know, it's so, If this is going to be a low possession team because they aren't really stoppable because they almost have 4 downs as long as the field position's decent because they feel so confident in their quarterback to go out and make a play on 4th and makeable, you know, you're looking at, you know, how many yards were out there? Well, of the 390, when you factor in the 2 false start penalties, he had 293 of those yards. You know, remember at one point during the offseason, somebody asked him, you know, to describe his game. It was an early press conference, Denton, and he just said, yeah, go check the Florida game out. The Florida game from last year down in the swamp, he had 606 yards of total offense and 5 touchdowns. It was pretty much the game that clinched the Heisman Trophy. It's one of the greatest single performances by a quarterback that you've ever seen. 234 yards rushing, 372 or whatever it was passing. Now, you can't really do that at the NFL. There aren't as many possessions. But last night, when someone may ask him in the future, so tell me about what your game is professionally. Yeah, go check out the Cincinnati game. His 91.3% completion percentage is an all-time rookie quarterback record, 21 of 23. He also became the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for at least 2 touchdowns, run for at least 3 touchdowns without throwing an interception in his first 3 games as a starting quarterback. What we've seen is historic. Last night, though specifically historic with the 21 of 23. Jaden Daniels has been pretty good in his first two starts. He was pretty good in his first two starts. Last night was his early career coming out party. He was extraordinary. He missed some things, you know, in particular early in the game. And after, you know, everybody gets their hands on the All-22 and starts playing film expert, you'll notice some things that he missed, you know. But can I just say this? Aikman was a bit nitpicky early in the game. He's a quarterback, and I don't think he was wrong about anything he was saying, but he seemed to be glossing over some of the really good plays that were made. I think even the best quarterbacks, when they get into the room with their OC and their quarterback's coach on a Monday after a game, they're like, "Yeah, you could have gone here." You know, sometimes coaches, and I remember Jay Gruden talking this way a couple of times about the quarterbacks he had. It was like, "I schemed up the perfect one to Jordan Reed. Now, he came over here and he made a really good play on a throw to Pierre, but the bigger play was to Jordan Reed." I think that happens with all quarterbacks. But specifically last night, there were a couple of things. You know, last night early, he missed Noah Brown on a third and one where he took a sack. Noah Brown was wide open. Early in the game, second drive, I think he missed Sinnott on a second and four shotgun bootleg. On the first and 10 where Terry's defender fell down, I mean, that's a moment, right? You know, he missed Terry in that opener against Tampa. He missed a couple of players off schedule against the Giants. And there it is, versus, you know, all-out pressure, under pressure, and Terry's defender falls down, and he is wide open for a touchdown. And he not only airmailed that ball, that thing was closer to the first row than it was to Terry. By the way, a really good sign that you don't even let that come close to rattling you, especially with the talk of Terry. And of course, we know what happened a little bit later on in that drive, or the next one. I forget which one it was. So he may have missed some things, but look, this is a guy who led an offense that scored 38 points on six drives. Six drives, 38 points, five touchdowns and a field goal. Seriously, when you don't punt offensively, I said last week, yeah, I'd like to see some touchdowns in the red zone too. But if you tell me that every Sunday you're not going to punt and you're not going to turn the ball over, sign me up. You're going to win most of those games. And then there's just the idea, clutch-wise. Last week delivered with the throw to Noah Brown. This week on that final drive, overcoming a first and 15 and then a second and 20. And then, of course, clinging to a five-point lead after, you know, Cincinnati down 31-20, I think went down the field in about 3 seconds to score. Third and seven, and he takes an absolute mauling of a hit. That ball that he threw to Terry McLaurin, go watch the replay. For those that say, oh, pressure to sack percentage, he doesn't throw with anticipation, he doesn't process. Terry's on the 19-yard line when the ball leaves his hand. He's on the 19. You know where he caught it? About 6 or 7 yards deep in the end zone. That is called processing and throwing with anticipation and throwing with accuracy. Could the throw have been any better? Terry makes a great play to get not only a foot but a knee in bounds as well. It landed perfectly in his hands. Second straight week, he's delivered with his arm in the pocket in the clutch. Last week to Noah Brown on the final drive, 34 yards. This week, 27 yards and a touchdown to Terry McLaurin. This will go down as one of the better quarterbacked games in franchise history. Not for a rookie, for anybody. Bear with me, okay? I'm not putting it into the conversation with Doug Williams and what he did in Super Bowl 22. You know, I'm not putting it into the conversation of Mark Rippon's record-setting 6 touchdowns against the Falcons in the 91 season. You know, it may not have even been, you know, the RG3 game against New Orleans or the RG3 game on Thanksgiving in 2012 or Sonny Jurgensen games or Kirk Cousins games in 15 or 16. Brad Johnson owns the franchise record for yards in a game. 1999 in a game that clinched a playoff berth in San Francisco, Brad Johnson threw for 471. Nobody's ever thrown for that many. I think Cousins is second. Theismann had a few 400-yard games as well. Theismann, you know, there are games you could pick from his MVP season in 83. But last night, being the first big spot for this quarterback, to watch him come through and shine the brightest on the biggest NFL stage he's been on. He's been on much bigger college stages. His passer rating was 141.7. His overall QBR, 93. I went back very late last night, and I tried to find the highest QBR game. You got to go back to you-know-who in 2015 and 2016 to find an overall higher QBR game than the one that he delivered last night. And what made last night special is it was kind of the first time watching him do the Jaden Daniels thing. Because I know a lot of you don't watch a lot of college football. So you watch the highlights, and that's fine. But you have to be watching the game and get the context of what it was like, you know, last November in Tuscaloosa when he put on an absolute show against a great defensive team on the road against Bama. What he did at Missouri on a Saturday afternoon when they were down double digits and he was banged up. What they did against Florida, what they did against Texas A&M. You got to see him do his thing. It is thrilling to watch him play. He threw it when he needed to throw it. He ran it when he needed to run it. He ran and threw it last night. That was the next step, right? The next progression. Keep your eyes down the field. Did a couple of times as he got outside the pocket, throwing to McCaffrey, throwing to Ertz, throwing to Terry. The runs, they were designed runs. They were option runs. He was under center. He was in shotgun. He was in pistol. He threw screens. He threw over the middle. He threw deep. He extended plays. He threw the ball, you know, on the move. He did it all. And yeah, he missed things. All quarterbacks do, especially in their third game. He never looked worried either. That is definitely a defining characteristic of the first three games of his pro career, but was always there in every college game. He just doesn't appear that the moment is, or the stage is going to be too big for him. He's smiling. He's laughing. He's poised. He's calm. He's cool. The 55-yarder that led to the touchdown to Terry in the first half that gave him a 21-10 lead, that came a drive after he missed Terry badly. He didn't care. The 27-yard touchdown pass with just over 2 minutes to go, finishing the Bengals off. I mean, he made big fourth down throws to McCaffrey in the first half, to Ertz on the final game-clinching drive, and then he kept it on another fourth down, read option, run first down. The whole thing starts with him as a run threat on every play. It doesn't matter if he's under center, which he was at times, or in pistol, which he was at other times, or in shotgun, which he was, I think, most of the time. The defense has to account for Jaden Daniels as a runner, and not just a runner, but a runner who can make your defense look silly. And then after you account for him as a runner, you have to account for him as a passer from the pocket, outside the pocket. Excellent screen thrower. Don't underestimate how good he throws those bubble screens or those swing passes behind the line of scrimmage with velocity, with a lead, creating the yards after catch opportunity. He throws outside the hashes. He throws over the middle. And of course, what we talked about all offseason, he's an elite deep ball thrower. Every skill set he has is close to kind of high level to elite level. And it all fits with today's game. Bear with me here. Let me just mention that again. every skill he has, every talent he has, is high level, if not elite level, and it fits with today's NFL game. Not to mention he's got a coordinator who understands how to utilize all of it. So it's always been with him about two things more than anything else. One, can he stay healthy with a physical frame that appears to be kind of slight? That's always been my number one concern, going back to well before the draft. And then two, the things we didn't know about, we don't know about, because we don't get to sit down and talk to the people. We don't get to do the due diligence. We don't get to do the interviews. Does he have the other stuff? The intangibles, the work ethic, the processing, the football IQ, the team first mentality, the leadership ability, the confidence combined with humility trait. Is he a killer competitor like the real good ones usually are? It's never really been about his skill and talent if you watched him. He's the most talented and skilled quarterback that stepped onto a field wearing a burgundy and gold jersey in a long, long time. It's the other stuff. And the other stuff, through three games, looks promising. But we got a long way to go. Jaden Daniels, number two on the list of things that I liked. Offense, Jaden Daniels. We could stop right there, but I'll continue. I thought last night, honestly, and bear with me on this one, that the overall intensity and urgency of the team, all three phases of the team, was outstanding. And I understand that from a production standpoint, the defense was once again bad. Okay, but I thought they were urgent. They were flying around. This is what Quinn promised all offseason. Our identity is going to be a team that competes, that plays hard, that plays physical, that plays fast. I saw that even on defense last night, even though it wasn't a very good defensive performance. It wasn't from a lack of effort, a lack of urgency, in my opinion. By the way, that goes for special teams, too. Did you see that Jeremy Reeves tackle on a kickoff? I will also mention that I think their strategy clearly is to play coverage on kickoffs, because they had in the game, right, six scores plus another seven kickoffs. Five of them were returned. You know, I don't think it's that Austin Seibert can't kick it into the end zone for a touchback. I think it's that they would rather try to stop the team from getting to the 30-yard line. And look, every advantage they can get field position-wise, which, by the way, is one of, you know, Dan Quinn's Tell the Truth Monday, you know, categories, field position. With that defense, you don't want to hand the ball to the other team at the 30 over and over again if you think your coverage unit on special teams can stop them short of the 30. But I thought the intensity, the urgency, the flying around, I saw that from the jump last night, all three phases, including the defense, which was not very good. Other things that I liked. Let's go to some individual performances other than Jaden's. Austin Ekeler, man. I mean, 119 all-purpose yards last night, and he barely played in the second half after the 62-yard kickoff return. I hope he's okay. I hope they're not without him for a long time, because he is a big part of what they are doing right now. It started with him, by the way, on the first drive of the game. Three of the first four offensive plays. Ekeler, right tackle for 8 yards on the first play from scrimmage. Then it's Ekeler, you know, on a short pass for 8 yards. Then it's Daniels to Ekeler for another 14 yards. Then he had the 24-yard touchdown run on their second drive to give him a 14-7 lead. He's got quickness. He's got vision. He never takes a square hit. He is a tackle breaker, but very subtle one. The defense loaded up last night to stop Brian Robinson Jr. and the run game out of the read option looks and other looks. They did a pretty good job with that, but Ekeler was an absolute significant, you know, contributor to what they were doing offensively last night. His overall 119 all-purpose yardage game last night included, 62 on the kickoff return. What a threat that's going to be with Eckler back there on kickoffs. Three rushes, just three for 35 yards, 11.7 yards per carry, 24 on the touchdown. And he had two catches for 22 yards on just two targets. He was outstanding in the game. Terry McLaurin. Big time. I told you he wasn't going to stick at 4.9 yards per reception. That was not going to hold up. They were going to connect on some of these deep shots because Jaden is a great deep ball thrower. He is. He's now averaging 11.6 yards per reception. Sound a little bit better? 12 receptions, 139 yards. Look, that first 55-yarder was such a beauty. And he split bracket coverage. Outstanding job. And then the catch he made for the touchdown was about as good as it gets in the NFL. That's a perfect throw, no doubt. But Terry looks it in and then has the ability to not only get a foot down, but know that the second foot isn't going to get down. So he's got to do the 1 foot, one knee thing, or the one knee thing equals 2 feet. And he got the knee down and survived the ground on the catch. Outstanding play by Terry McLaurin. Four catches, 100 yards. You have to be thrilled for him. It's funny because they were talking about it early, and then when he was wide open, when the defender fell down and Jaden missed him, I'm like, oh, God. I mean, they're going to kill Jaden this week if Terry ends up with another two catches for 12 yards or 6 yards, because he was wide open again. Now, that first one, the defender completely falls down. I think he's going to beat the defender anyway. Noah Brown's on the list of things that I like. How about the addition of Noah Brown? He gets separation. He has become a bit of a favorite for the quarterback, no doubt. Three catches, 29 yards last night, to follow three catches, 56 yards in his first appearance last week. He's got some size to him. He's got some real good change of direction in his route running and some wiggle. Noah Brown, outstanding. Luke McCaffrey, three catches, 44 yards last night, including that first big one. He was open last week. He is a good route runner. He's got some speed. He's got some size. He's got some hands. Big night for Luke McCaffrey. He makes the list of things that I like. So does Zach Ertz. Five catches, 38 yards on five targets. He did get punched out on one of them, the fumble that Biadasz ended up jumping on. I think it was Biadasz. But Ertz has become a go-to for Jaden, and that fourth down play, wow, on the final drive. Plenty of separation, and Jaden put it in there. There was something beyond skill position players on offense that I think deserves some kudos, and I'll get to that. And there was one, actually two plays defensively that I thought were significant in the game on what was, other than those two plays, a pretty bad night.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Again, defensively. We'll continue with my game take when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.